Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Alrighty then, always a tough act to follow coming in behind Amy, but I'll do my best. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 19th of January, and it's a Tuesday. And let's see, we got, looks like a whole host of the regulars here. We've got a little handful of anonymous, okay, that's good. Welcome all of you. We've got some updates on what's going on up in Oregon, and it's changing literally hourly right now. So what I tell you now may or may not be true an hour from now. So I don't know. Hang on 1 second. I got to check on something here and see if this is real. All right, we're good. I don't know where to start on all the things that are going on there. I can tell you that Anthony Bosworth just got kicked out of a meeting up there a while ago. And since it was on video, I can tell you straight from the horse's mouth exactly what happened. He was forcefully removed from the meeting. He said, a member of the community asked when the Hammonds were going to be released, and he said, I think it was the judge that said that they would not even discuss freeing the Hammonds until the Bundys left town. So Anthony said, does that mean you're holding the Hammonds hostage? Then he restated his comment, and he asked again. And that's when he got thrown out. So the cop that threw him out, he asked him a couple of times there, you know, or no, five times, he said, didn't you take an oath, didn't you take an oath, didn't you take an oath, da, 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 da. And he said, yeah, I did, but I just do what I'm told. So there you have it. That's what's going on. It's one of the many things that's going on up there. said he didn't think it was going to be such an issue, just asking a question. Okay. So that's obviously that is a fluid situation there. It's going to change here right away. So another thing that they're saying, and this is, they said that the airspace was restricted over Varney County, over around Burns in particular. I'm getting conflicting stories about that from multiple people. And at least three or four of them being pilots. And half of the pilots are saying they are, and half of the pilots are saying they're not. So I don't know if they're looking at different websites or what's going on. There are some restrictions around the area that may or may not be related to the quote-unquote standoff there, but I don't know for sure. So we'll have to wait and see about that. There is fairly well-confirmed reports that the FBI is setting up trauma units at the hospital there, and that they are bringing in trauma surgeons or whatever you call them there. This is probably true. There's enough people that say they have seen this. I think it's probably true. However, the first thing that it does is spark a tremendous amount of fear in everybody involved, or everybody that's watching it, maybe not the ones that are involved. The ones that are involved may see it for what we think it probably really is, and it's more than likely simply a psyops. They are doing that and to do just exactly what it's doing to the people on the internet that are all going completely batspit over this deal, thinking that there's going to be a bloodbath and another Waco and all of that. And it's possible. I surely, as much as we have no reason to trust these people, I should would surely never say that it's impossible. But right now, it seems unlikely because of the time that I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't lower my guard. But I would expect the unexpected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But politically and just the image right now with all the media's eyes up there and as many people as are involved, man, I really, really doubt it right now. But we'll see. If, wow. You know, there's a, and I said, you know, if they're setting up trauma units there, it might behoove them to go ahead and set trauma units up all over the country. My friend Bob Wright once suggested to a Fed back in the 90s, it may have even been early 90s, I think, whenever the Freeman standoff in Montana was, and if FBI agent asked him, are you gonna travel all the way up there, really? And he said, hell no. I got enough of you Fed bastards right here in town. I don't have to go anywhere to find them. So I think that things are volatile enough up there and around the country that it would probably be an unwise idea for them to do that. The Mike Vanderbo just wrote a story and put it out here not too long ago that reiterated Bob Wright's stand there, saying that there's going to be no more free Wacos. He said this one will not go as easy as Waco did. Things have changed immensely since the mid-90s, you know, as far as the way people think and the way that they now understand the lies and the deceit and the absolute corruption to the bone that there is in federal government. Matter of fact, probably either just before the break or maybe right after, right around the bottom of the hour, I've got something I want to play you. It's about 10 minutes long. But actually, it's an excerpt out of something that is about 3.5 hours long. But I'm going to play part of this, and I think that you will find it exceedingly interesting. So that's some of the things that's going on. Let's see, airspace, the hospital. Yeah, they're supposed to be helicopters on standby there up there. You know, there's no way being down here. The only thing we can do is try to sort it out, because even though we have friends up there, a lot of friends up there, and people that we certainly trust, you know, sometimes they get fed bad information, and it's hard, so hard to keep up with everything and tell you with any degree of certainty what exactly is going on. So as we are able to at least reasonably confirm what we think is going on, then we'll pass it along to you. Now, we've been wrong on several things because of bad information brought from there. We were wrong on the federal building. Everybody said it was a federal building. Then everybody said it was a county building. And now it's back to a federal building. It is, in fact, absolutely a federal building, which changed things quite a bit. I was hoping you can still hear me. My computer's going nuts here. I have no way to see right now, but we'll just keep talking. I was very much opposed to the manner in which that they first conducted this. And I always will be, however. The results of what is happening up there and the hearts and minds that it's winning over and the awareness that it's bringing to other ranchers and ranchers that are going there in support, and the local ranchers that are supporting them now, is
pass
nothing
along to you now. We've been wrong.
Nothing like it was first reported in the media. Nothing at all. So we'll see. I'm trying to. There we go. Now my computer's starting to wake up again. Hopefully you managed to, you could hear me through all of that. I don't know if you could or not. All right, Maddie says the sound is good. All right, I don't know what the delay is there. But, it has been a truly a mess up there. But it's working itself out. Now, that doesn't mean by any remote stretch of the imagination that it will not turn into another Waco. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a bloodbath or at least some degree of violence up there. Not at all. But it is a price that we pay for the good that it's doing. We are doing I think for the awareness and the education. Chris Ann Hall has been up there, is doing two consecutive nights of constitutional education up there that is not being live streamed. She wants the people that are sitting in there to be comfortable and be able to talk at ease without being on film. And they said that there was about 300 there last night. I don't know what they got tonight. But they said it was extremely well received, and it could, in fact, be a turning point in what's going on up there. The trouble is, we have Boss Hogg up there. We have the people that you see, remember in the in that song, Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, they got a sheriff that's just about like that. Seen several movies down in the South where the corruption was, where they had no conscience, no thoughts, no values whatsoever of putting a man to death or destroying a family or whatever. And that is the type of people that we have up there in Harney County right now. Some county, some fed, some city. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about any state people being involved in anything up there to speak of yet. So, let's see. I don't know. Lima, I don't know what you're talking about there, but I think I know what you mean, that it could go bad real soon if there was a fed plant in the group there that shot someone. I think that's what you're trying to say. So, yeah, if that was the case, I'm sure that would be give them all the reason that they need, and it would also bring some of the people back to the Fed side there when they decide that the militia is a bunch of crackpots. And I shouldn't say the militia, because there's guys up there. The only thing that makes them militia are the fact that they are armed citizens. There's not a quote-unquote militia group in there. Now there's you know, the Idaho guys out on the outside there that is a militia. Now I've got some other things to say about them that I'll just keep to myself, but a lot of stuff going on up there, a lot of interesting events, and I'm trying to keep up with this, so when I stutter a little bit here, it's because I'm trying to continue to talk and still read and keep up with the absolutely ever-changing stuff going on there. Okay. All right. What a mess. What a mess going on. All right. Well, anyway, well, let's move on. If we get something here during the show, I'll stop and share it with you. But let's look for a minute. Let's change gears and go off in a different direction. We're going to change gears a couple of times here and go in different directions. But one thing I wanted to, I found this here the other day, and it gives a chronological breakdown here of the 8 states with what they consider constitutional carry. Now, all of these are not constitutional carry by our standards, but the first one, of course, was Vermont, that has been constitutional carry since 1791. That means that they never enacted any laws. They never had to do anything. They never had any laws to start with banning the right to discreetly carry a gun in some manner. So nothing has changed in Vermont since the founding of the country. Montana, they say, in 1991 enacted constitutional carry for all areas outside the city limits. Now, in a way, you know, that doesn't, you can still open carry in the city limits. They don't care about open carry in Montana. But they're saying that you can carry concealed as long as you're outside, which covers, you know, a little over 99% of the state. They are working currently on the rest of it, trying to get it 100%. But what got that passed, I remember when all this was going on, a lot of this, one of the big arguments that got this passed was two things, the hunters and the fact that everywhere in Montana is cold in the winter. So it is very difficult to wear warm clothing and still carry a gun. And you know, that would be one thing in a whole different situation, I guess, in Florida, where you can't possibly carry one discreetly. I don't say not possibly, but it's more difficult to carry one discreetly because of the way a lot of people dress in that kind of weather. It's difficult not to carry one discreetly in Montana when you have to wear knee-length, you know, parkas and stuff up there a lot of the times. And when you're, and people that hunt, of course, have these coats and coveralls and whatever the case may be on there, and guns under them. So that helped them to get that passed. And there's other states out there that have no restrictions on concealed carry out in unincorporated areas. Alaska enacted their concealed carry, their constitutional carry, in 2003. That was just about the time that I opened up, that I took over Ross Sporting Goods, which eventually became Southwest Shooting Authority. And Alaska was really, I don't even really count Montana, but Alaska was the first state after Vermont that had a real, what they consider, constitutional carry. Texas wants to seem like they've got something going on in the constitutional carry deal. They don't, really. It's what they call constitutional carry light, which is with the Motorist Protection Act. When I was in Texas, the several different times I was down there, it was against the law to carry a loaded gun in your vehicles, concealed. And so now, within 2007, with the Motorist Protection Act, it lets people carry in their vehicles and to and from their vehicles and homes or land or business or whatever. Arizona, let me go check my chat room, make sure it doesn't run completely away from me here. Cookies, somebody say cookies? I can't have any cookies right now. Amy and I are doing an experiment here, and it does not include cookies, unfortunately. So I'm just going to act like I didn't see that and scroll on down here and see what's going on. All right. Arizona, 2010. And despite all the blood running in the streets and everything, it has definitely not been the case. Crime has continued to decrease, violent crime in Arizona, I think largely because of a law like this. And we have probably one of the best, according to Guns and Ammo magazine, we have the best concealed carry law in the nation. We are also the most gun-friendly, gun-owner-friendly state in the nation. So our constitutional carry has very few restrictions. You cannot carry into a place that serves alcohol, open containers of alcohol, unless you are concealed and have a permit. But unless the alcohol place has a state-prescribed sign up there, and then all bets are off. But other than that, we have very, very few restrictions here. Wyoming, well, kinda. They have constitutional carry for residents only, passed in 2011. If you're a non-resident, you still have to have a permit. So they still got to make a few bucks somehow. Arkansas, with Act 746, it was so popular there for a while. A lot of stuff in the news, a lot of stuff on Facebook, just passed 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago in August of 2013. So Arkansas now has constitutional carry. Kansas got their constitutional carry pushed through legislation, in with wide support, heavy support, just last year in 2015. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think maybe, I don't remember if it's Maine or Maryland or something. I think there's another one that either has or is about to be passed here right away quick. I don't think that this list is complete. But it says, it goes on to say that a lot of states have some level of constitutional carry for homes, businesses, land that you own or lease during hunting events and vehicles, you know, different types of things. Some other situations with varying degrees or restrictions, special conditions or rights. Okay. All right, let's see here. All right, I think we'll let that go with that for right now. And if I can get everything to work quickly enough here, it is a little bit hard because just because it is. It's too bad Eddie's not in there tonight. I think Eddie is doing more important things actually than listening to the shooting bench at this time. But I'm gonna kind of break my own rules here a little bit just because I kind of got in the mood with a couple of those songs earlier, so we'll be back in a minute. We'll be right back. Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight.
Well, we didn't get dressed up or nothing.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All righty then, we're back, and I've been looking feverishly here for a deal video thing that I wanted to play here. Man, there is so much stuff going on. Got something going on in Young, Arizona that I need to check on there. Not only is there the FBI supposedly putting up trauma centers there, it looks like we have militia setting up a medical triage center on our side, so that's good. I'm glad that there are people that are willing to do this and have the knowledge and the equipment to do it all. And stand by this center. All right. Goodness, I'm glad I got that out of my system. So if you'll stand by and let me just blabber here for a minute, I'm going to see if I can find that. I really want you to hear this video that's on. I don't want to have to go and try to pull it out of the 3.5-hour video here. If I do, then we'll have to listen to it some other time. I haven't got time to do it tonight, but... it was a really good deal, and I think you'll be exceedingly interested in it. Got so many videos and stuff coming in here from Oregon, and reports of different levels of, different levels of authentication here, I guess it is. All right. Well, it looks like we're not gonna find. Oh, I'll tell you something else while I'm looking for this, and I hate this, and I've known it for 2 weeks, but I didn't want to say anything because it hadn't been made public yet. I knew this actually the day that it happened, and that is the fact that Lavoie Finicum has lost their foster children. They had 4 boys there while I was there with them. And these boys are... they're boys that other people have had a little trouble with. And I think that they... I'm not sure exactly what the situation is. But these boys had the best home that could ever be offered to them, especially for someone who needs a little extra discipline, a little extra work out there. These boys were exposed to honest, good values. They were exposed to religion. They were exposed to work. They went out to the ranch and helped with stuff out there. And they called Mr. and Mrs. Finkham, mom and dad, and they were just good boys. And I think the best thing that ever happened to them was that they were able to stay with on their ranch there. And the worst thing that ever happened to them was that the state took them away. There is no question whatsoever that the feds planted the seed there, and the feds or the state took them just on the assumption that Lavoie was, they call him militant in here. I went to one of the websites there after this was made public, and the people on there, you know, liberals are freaking brutal. They're mindless. They're idiots. And I will stand by everything that I ever say about these people. You know, when I was on the air with who's that moron that's on Fox News? Alan Combs. When I was on the air with Alan Combs, I couldn't even hardly talk to him. I wanted to reach through the mic and choke him to death. I just can't stand to be around him. And I don't apologize for anything that I say about him. I detest everything about liberals. And on the air, I mean, on the comments section of one of these sites, they were talking about Lavoie losing. Well, now, Lavoie, this was their only source of income. The ranch out there is not really, the cows take care of the ranch. That's not a main source of income for them. But Lavoie says that in this article, and this is all public knowledge now, he says, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but I can tell you that if we have to eat, you know, rice and beans for a few years, we're going to stand the line. He says, we're not wavering. We're not changing anything that we do. And I know that it broke their heart to lose those boys, because they were family. All of them were, I mean, you wouldn't know, other than the fact that it looks a little odd for, you know, 55-year-old man to have 10, 12-year-old boys there. They were just like any other family. You would have never known that, other than the fact that I think at least one of them was Hispanic. I think another one may have been Indian. I'm not sure. So other than that, there was no way that you couldn't tell that they weren't just any old other family out there. And so I'm heartbroken for all of them, for the boys especially, for Lavoie and them, because they've lost their source of income, but certainly for the boys, because they have lost the greatest experience of their life. It's just a John Fish, that's right. What if my kid became a liberal? It's not gonna happen. Nope. It is not going to happen. Let me back up here a little bit and get over. I was looking at some other stuff. And, yeah, that's... let me tell you a little something else about this foster kid thing. As heartbreaking as it is, let me tell you how... I don't know what is going to happen to their license. I think that they're holding on to it for right now. I don't know if that's going to remain the case or not. But it is exceedingly rare, especially here in Arizona, that a family can have more than two foster kids, and a lot of them are only allowed one. The Finnecombs were allowed four. And from what I understand, they were the only family in the state of Arizona that were allowed to have four foster kids. Why? Because their family was perfect. They could not find anything, any reason whatsoever to deny them having four kids. And they, when they, one would complete his term, whatever it was, you know, or go back to his real family or whatever the case may be, they'd get another one. They've had four for quite a while. You know, off and on, they got a regular coming and going there. So they are an extraordinary family, extraordinary individuals. I've met two of their daughters, one of their sons, all the foster kids, and they are amazing people. And I hate to see this happen to them. I hate to see, just for the fact that I just love LaVoy to death, I'd like to see him just get out of there and come home. But on the other hand, I know that that's not going to work. LaVoy is, he's in the right. He knows he's in the right. And that's not going to change. Either there's going to be some changes made to laws and something going on with the feds there, or LaVoy will not be leaving there. He'll either leave in a stretcher or dead, one or the other. There will not be any backing down of that there. So that you can be absolutely confident of. I see a story on here. I hadn't planned on talking about this, but I just saw this, and I'm not sure. I haven't read the story yet. But it says that the BLM has illegally sold thousands of wild horses for slaughter. They may have. These horses are watched over pretty carefully by several different groups. The BLM does have a program, and I've seen some of these horses come out of that program, where you can buy them for every year or a couple of times a year or whatever in different parts of the country. They have wild horse sales. These are horses that have always been wild, and they have rounded them up, a certain number of them. They bring them in, they tattoo them, and tame them down a little bit, and they offer them for sale to a good home. It's an adoption program, basically. They get $125 a piece. Well, that was probably 10 years ago. I don't know what they're getting now, but it was $125 a piece, and they come out and check periodically and make sure that you have, for the first year, I think it is, they come out and check and make sure that you have adequate quarters for them, adequate lodging, and that they're being taken care of properly, and that you're doing something with them. And after a year, then they're your horses. They don't come and bother you anymore. So I find it a little bit hard to believe, especially that there's so many people watching over these horses and making sure that that kind of stuff doesn't happen, that I find it a little bit, not that I think that BLM is incapable of doing that. Certainly they are. But I think it would be quite difficult for them to get away with that, as many people are keeping track of them. Okay, I'm starting to run out of patience here, trying to find... Well, there's a good story. I'm going to save that. Trying to find this story about the... Well, I'm not even going to say. I don't want to tip my hand here until I'm able to play that for you. So, all right. Yeah, I'll have to give up on that for now. All right, hang on. I'm back. Got a little irritation in my throat going on here for some reason or another. Let's get back over here and see what's going on. I know I've got 100 stories saved. Are you going to bed? Hold on a second. Hey, babe. All right, I'm back. I'm not stuttering because I don't have anything to say. I'm stuttering because I have too much to say. I have so many things going on. So, here is, let me, in no particular order, here's something that may interest you. This is, I know we were going to talk about the barrel length deal, too. There's been some cotton picking, many things going on. I don't have time now. So, we're going to save that for tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, we will definitely spend some time on the barrel length subject that we started last night. But I just saw today that Kimber, of all companies, is coming out with a revolver. Alrighty then. Well, yeah, there's people out there that say, well, they hadn't done anything else, right? In order to keep something going, I guess they're going to have to try revolvers for a while. And Kimber's quality control has been down the toilet here for a while, and they're losing business. But they have a revolver coming out, the K6S. It's not your run-of-the-mill revolver. It was built specifically for concealed carry. It has pretty decent sights on it, actually, for a concealed carry gun. I do recognize the fact that they've taken a what looks like a 1911 style dovetail in the back and put, instead of just having the groove cut in the top of the receiver, the top of the frame, like a say a Taurus 82 or 85 or something like that, this looks like these sights would be quite useful for this type of a gun. So it is it's hammerless, double action only, of course, if it's hammerless, and the cylinder, they say, is quite different. It's a little different than your average wheel gun. It has flat sides on it instead of flutes. They say that this is the thinnest six-shot 357 cylinder on the market. They say it's about the size of a five-shot, more than a six. So it's 357-38, stainless steel, two-inch barrel. Trigger pull is nice on it for a double action, somewhere between 9.5 to 10.5 pounds. Most double actions come in between 12 and 14 out of the factory. Six rounds, 23 ounces. So if it's good quality gun, it works. I think it's a great design. I haven't touched one or been able to mess with one at all, but it looks like a really nice, well-built there's no sharp edges. It's all been dehorned and looks like it's a pretty slick little $899, though, typical Kimber overpriced stuff. So would I pay $900 for a two-inch revolver? Quick answer, no. Long answer, hell no. Not in your wildest nightmares would you find me paying that much money for a revolver. I might pay that much for a brand new model 27 or a good 10-inch stainless, 10-inch stainless Super Black Hawk or something, a Super Red Hawk, either one, something like that. Yeah, I'd pay that much for it. But for a 2-inch 38, 2-inch 357, no way. Yakima Glock, if I had the choice of either one of them for the same price, and I knew what Kimber's history was, I would definitely take the Kimber for the purpose that it's for. The GP100 is not remotely a concealed carry gun. They're way too heavy, way too thick. I wouldn't even consider it except for, you know, some emergency short-term application. Now, something for the woods, if we wanted to take it out and actually get in a fight with it when we were carrying it openly or carrying it for hunting or something like that, the GP100, as far as I'm concerned, for a 357 has no peer for ruggedness. Now, if you want a trigger, you want a Smith & Wesson. But if you want rugged to the nth degree, then the GP100 is it. The old Security 6 was a good one, the Single 6, the Service 6, all of those great revolvers, which is what the GP100 was designed after. And Susie B., I'm not sure if you're, let's see. Yeah, the horses are not dying of starvation out there that I've ever seen. Most of those horses are in pretty good shape. They've got thousands and thousands of acres to roam on, and I've seen a lot of them up in Wyoming and a few in New Mexico. There was a lot around when I was a kid out in Carson National Forest. We could find them once in a while. But in Wyoming, Montana, there's oodles and gobs of wild horses out there. And I've never seen them look too thin. Yeah, towards the end of the winter, yeah, they look a little just like the deer and the elk and everything else do. But the rest of the time, they look good. Stardos, yes, I have. I have yet met Yakima Glock more than once. As a fatter of Mact, I have spent probably altogether probably biggest part of 3 weeks straight with Yakima Glock. I'm well acquainted with him. But let's see. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to find this other deal. I really, 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 really want to play this for you. But it doesn't look like I saved it here. I'm going to have to go and search it out or modify it here so that we don't have to play the whole 3-hour deal. But I'll find that for you and play it tomorrow. And we're also going to do the sawing off the barrel thing. I've got several. We can spend pretty good while on that, so hopefully the girls won't get too bored with us and run us off for talking about guns for 30 minutes. But anyway, let me grab another story here. I don't want to leave this early. We've still got 6 minutes here. So here's a good one. I read this while I was in town a while ago and got a haircut earlier. And this is a federal cop that was stopped by state cops on I-40 right outside of somewhere not too far from Nashville, Tennessee. And hang on a minute. We got this stupid ad coming up here. All right, there we go. This was a federal cop and his wife were driving back to, I think they said they were from Vegas, I'm not sure, somewhere out west here. They were driving back from Virginia after this guy's grandfather's funeral, and he said to his wife after some cops drove by, we're going to get pulled over. He said, what makes you think they're going to stop you? He says, because we got out-of-state plates and you're Hispanic. And sure enough, they got pulled over. And long story short, they tore the car apart, ripped the dash out of it and everything, looking for drugs. But it finally come out that that is not exactly what they were looking for. The guy kind of let it slip. They brought a dog in there and said the dog alerted on the vehicle, so they were going to search it. The wife would not give consent. They separated them. The wife would not give consent to search the car, so they brought in a dog. They say the dog alerted to the vehicle, and she said that that couldn't be. There's never been any drugs in this vehicle. I've had it since it was new, and there never will be. And so the federal cop that was stopped here was furious when he said the dog did not alert on that vehicle. He said, "You're lying about the dog hitting the car. The dog did not hit the car. You guys are a drug task force. You're out here harassing me and my wife when I'm just coming back from a funeral." And so the drug agent there, knowing full well that this guy's name was Ronnie, was a cop, said that's exactly how I would expect most police officers to act. And the Ronnie said, just like a child, you can make a child say anything you want. You can make a dog do whatever you want if you train them the right way. And this was to the Channel 5 News that he was talking about this. So for nearly an hour, it said the cops held them there, stripped their car apart, found no drugs. And then they found out that they were actually looking for cash. He said, "I knew right now they were looking for money to fund their operation." He said, "Well, I'll be honest with you," the officer began, as he attempted to justify this outrageous violation of rights. "With you going this direction, I wouldn't think you'd have drugs in your car. You would have a large amount of money." So for some reason, I guess they feel the drugs are brought in from the West, and when you're going back to the West, you've sold your drugs and have money in the car. So after the cops were finished searching for the cash that they didn't find, and eventually let them go. But to support this, the officers wrote that they found marijuana debris in the driver and the passenger floorboards. The debris, they said, was nothing more than a little bit of some grass clippings from the cemetery where Ronnie's grandfather was buried. So the federal cop now sees how some of the rest of us feel sometimes. Said, "It seems like Nazi Germany," he said. "You got to have the paperwork and the property authorities to come through Tennessee." Well, yep, that's, now you know what we feel like. But I'm sorry you had to go through that, but that's the way it is. All right, well, with all that being said there, I think we're going to scoot on out of here. And the way it stands right now, I told you that I will not be on for a live Liberty Lounge Friday. As it stands right now, that is still the case. If it changes, I will definitely post it everywhere and let you know. Also, there is a tremendous need right now for donations in the LFA/Patriot movement. If you are so inclined, please go to the shooting bench or to PayPal, and the email address to use is theshootingbench@live.com, theshootingbench@live.com. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate there, but it is getting increasingly urgent that we get some funding built up here. So if you can, be great. If you can't, I understand. It is that way right now for a lot of people. Let's see. Let me find. Here we go. Okay. I'm out of here. We will see you tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. Well, great. Right about the time of wanting to sign off here, it looks like Winamp is taking a break. So, there we go. How about that?
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.